some of the information of, for some Lebanese who don't want to understand. I don't know why. Regarding the three-way power sharing, you know, in Lebanon, let me remind people, they speak about splitting of power between Muslims and Christians. Now people speak about three-way split of power between Sunnis and Shias and Christians. They accuse Hezbollah and the Amal movement that they want a three-way distribution of power. As I said, Shia, Sunni, and Christians. Now where are the Druze? We don't know where the Druze are in this equation. Just two or three days ago, I heard one of the lead or some of the leaders of the 14th of March who accused General Michel Aoun that he is facilitating the three-way splitting of power. How can Michel Aoun be involved in this? He's a Christian. My dear friends, my dear colleagues, the thought of three-way splitting of power, this was an equation first and foremost which was proposed by the French. The French were the first who made this proposal, the French in the administration of Jacques Chirac. We just dropped the cup of water, actually. The first who made this proposal of a three-way split of power or sharing of power were the French. We never thought of a three-way sharing of power. Never did we do this. And I challenge the whole world to come and bring about one quote, one statement from a member of the Amal movement or from Hezbollah or from the Higher Islamic Shia Council or from a Shia religious leader or a Shia journalist or from a Shia youngster who speaks about a three-way sharing of power. No one. This wasn't in our mind at all. The French came and they made this proposal to the Iranians. And this is something which is recorded in the corridors of the meetings. This is something which is recorded in the Iranian Foreign Ministry. This proposal was made in Tehran. The French said the following. The French told the Iranians, don't you think that there is a necessity to reconsider the Taif agreement, the Lebanese Taif agreement regarding the distribution of power? We must begin with a new power sharing deal. They asked the Iranians. The Iranians didn't have any idea about it. The Iranians said, well, what are you thinking? They asked the question to the French, what are you thinking? The French said, a three-way distribution of power, because there is a situation in Lebanon which is changing. A demographic situation is changing. We have a new political situation, a new power structure. And so logic says that this Taif agreement, which has existed for 20 years, now we can discuss a new deal, a new agreement. Go and look at the French. The French were the ones who spoke about this. Who, just a few days ago, who spoke about a new agreement and that there are five Arab countries who support a new agreement in Lebanon? Wasn't it Kouchner who spoke about it, the current French foreign minister? What does a new agreement mean? Why, in between brackets, why when he spoke about a new agreement and abolishing the Taif agreement, why those who were against this, why didn't they speak out against Kouchner? Why were they silent? They support the Taif agreement. Why didn't they speak against Kouchner, who wants to exchange or change the Taif agreement? Where are these people? People who used to quickly criticize whenever we made very small reservations against the Taif agreement. Whenever small reservations were made, all hell would break loose. Just a few weeks ago, we didn't want to comment, but now I am going to comment. One of the MPs in the 14th of March Alliance spoke about a new political order, which is in total contradiction with the Taif agreement. He spoke about a new political order, which is very much in federalism, which is very much like federalism. Where are those on the 14th of March who want to maintain or preserve the Taif agreement? Why didn't they speak out against this MP? This reveals to you the political level of them. If one of the opposition had made such statements, what would have happened? If someone, especially the Christian opposition, if a member of the Christian opposition from the group of Michel Aoun or from the Marad movement, if one of them had made such a statement, or if one of the opposition members had said what Mr. Kouchner had said, or said what the March 14 MP had said, what would have happened? They would have said, you're trying to overthrow the Taif, you're trying to begin a conspiracy, you're trying to begin with a scandal, and they'll say you're trying to do a plan jointly with Tehran. Isn't that how they speak? Now let's close the two brackets and go back to the original discussion. Why did they make this proposal, three-way power sharing, and why did they make this proposal? To try and buy the Shia, to give incentives to the Shia in Lebanon. The Shia were always neglected in the political structure in Lebanon. If you tell the Shia, who were always neglected, and say you have a third of the power sharing, you have the veto in everything in the country, what's the price for this, however? The price is, number one, you exit, you withdraw from the Arab-Israeli conflict, meaning you abandon the resistance. This is one price you have to pay. The second price, and now I want to tell them, to all those who are depending on the Americans, and I'm going to go back to them, all of those who are depending on the Americans, I'd like to promise you, I pledge to you, if we open the doors of our stronghold to the Americans, they will stop going to other places, meaning they will come to us if we open the doors of our strongholds to the Americans, if we don't open the doors of our areas. If we want to make deals, we won't only get one third of the power sharing. So a three-way power sharing was proposed so that we would abandon our resistance against Israel, and so that we could decouple ourselves from Syria, which was targeted as well. And Tony Blair speaks about destroying Syria, not just overthrowing the regime. And to join in with a project, with a scheme, an American, British, Western, Israeli project, which can take in anyone, including Islamic parties, including Islamic movements, including Islamic resistance, including religious leaders, including people who have beards, they can all join. The Americans are pragmatic. They don't mind if anyone joins. If you kill their father, what's their interest? Whatever their interest in, they let you join if you agree with them. So, they tried to give us the incentive of power. However, this proposal, this approach failed. Why? Because of the following. Because they understood us in the wrong way. And I sincerely hope that they will remember this term. They understood us in a wrong way. Let them remember this. You understood us in the wrong way. You thought we were people who wanted to go to power, who wanted to grab power. You thought our resistance was not for liberation, not for freedom, not for sanctity, for dignity. You thought our resistance was to gain political posts and leadership posts. So you proposed to us taking these posts so that we would abandon the resistance. But you were mistaken. We are not people who strive to gain power. We do not sell our resistance, we do not sell our freedom, we do not sell our dignity, we don't sell the blood of our martyrs with one third of the power, we don't sell this for all of the power, for 100% of the power. And the resistance for us is a duty. When I say a holy duty, they make fun of us, but Judgment Day is coming. It is a holy duty, it's a religious duty. It is a pledge to God, God who has created everything, God, the leader of everything. This resistance is nothing which could be bargained for with anyone in the world. You made a mistake, you were mistaken, and so you failed. Now, in between brackets, I'd like to remind everyone, in the year 2005 until just before the July 2006 war, up after the parliamentary elections and the four-way alliance, of course the local powers, they are the ones who proposed to us taking power or coming to power. And if you go back to the archives, they spoke highly of us, they spoke about our behavior, they saluted our ethics, the 14th of March at that time, they saluted us. They made poems about us. Just a few days ago, if one of the opposition said a few good words, they attacked him. But in year 2005, the very same people who are criticizing those who salute the resistance were saluting us. However, the difference is those who are saluting us now are honest. While you in the March 14 who saluted us in the year 2005, you were conspiring against us at that time. That's why you were saluting us. You were saluting us because you were tricking us. People who are saluting us now are saluting us because they want to build the country with us. The third phase is war. Time has ended, and so phase number three was war. The rope of George Bush and Dick Cheney and Condoleezza Rice, the rope of tricks, was coming to an end. And so what was required was for the new Middle East to be born in the year 2006, because at the end of the year 2006, the congressional elections in America were going to be held. So the choice was to go to war. In Lebanon, they considered that their allies had taken control of the parliament and of the country, so they had one more problem. It's true that the opposition is very important, but the real problem is the resistance, the armed resistance. The Americans didn't want to solve the problem of Lebanon, they wanted to solve the problem of Israel. We, the Lebanese, and we, the Arab people, we must always be vigilant and must always know this is an American constant equation, an American principle which never changes. Lebanon's not important, Israel is important, Palestine's not important, Egypt's not important, Syria's not important, Iran's not important, Pakistan is not important, Israel is important, Israel's security is important, Israel's strength is important, Israel's preservance is important, Israel's remaining is important. This is a constant, this is something which never changes when it comes to America's stance with Israel. I will read now a few quotes. I will read a few quotes from Henry Kissinger, the former American Secretary of State. This is from An-Nahar newspaper. An-Nahar newspaper says the following related to Henry Kissinger. An-Nahar newspaper published a letter for Henry Kissinger, a letter which Henry Kissinger sends to Rimon Eddy. Rimon Eddy sends a letter to Kissinger, a very harsh letter to Henry Kissinger. Its contents is really very harsh. How can someone be this courageous in sending a letter to Henry Kissinger? Of course, Eddy accuses Kissinger and says, Kissinger, you want to destroy Lebanon. Kissinger then sends a long letter to Rimon Eddy. Part of it is very silly because it's part of it is hegemonic. He says, I'm writing a letter while I'm in the airplane. Anyway, what Kissinger says in his response, we have two quotes which are very sensitive. I want to read to you these two quotes, and I call on all Lebanese, and especially March 14, to listen to what I say now, and especially the Christians of March 14. Let them listen very well. I call on the youngsters of the Christian March 14 to listen very well. This is Henry Kissinger. And George Bush, of course, is very close to Kissinger, as you know, and quotes his books as well. Kissinger says the following in his letter. He says, it is true that I am thinking of creating small states which are very similar to Israel. This is a letter on the 14th of the 6th of 1976, during the Lebanese Civil War, when the country was being destroyed. Kissinger says, it's true I am trying. He's confessing. He says, it's true I am thinking of creating small states similar to Israel after I failed in convincing the Arabs to reconcile with Israel and make them recognize Israel as a country in the region. However, what is true as well is the bloodshed in Lebanon, the bloodshed which we created in Lebanon. He confesses with his own handwriting, the former Secretary of State says that the events which happened in Lebanon, the civil war in Lebanon, was his creation, was the American creation. Now they'll say wars of others on our territory, but this is Kissinger saying this himself. And he also says that the bloodshed which we created, which we brought about in Lebanon, brought to us the perfect arena to divide the influence and to destroy coexistence. Coexistence between who? Coexistence between Lebanese. At that time, the civil war was between Christians and Muslims in Lebanon, not between Sunnis and Shia. So he says we wanted to destroy this coexistence and bring about a malfunction in the only democracy in the region. And I believe, contrary to what the Pope says and contrary to what President D'Estaing says and most of the European leaders at that time see, I believe, Kissinger says, I believe that Lebanon has become a burden on the West. Who do you think you are? Do you think that Lebanon, you are so important? Do you think America stays up day and night thinking of you? He says that Lebanon has become a burden on the West because the freedom of Lebanon has been given and this freedom has been used against us. And so for this reason, I have decided to cancel this freedom in Lebanon despite the opposition, and I will make the regime in Lebanon a very delicate, weak regime. So he who takes responsibility for a very weak state in Lebanon is the American policy. The American policy is responsible for a weak state in Lebanon. For those who speak about going and building a strong state, and you know very well that the regime in Lebanon